Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. So if you have not yet prepared yourself, don't forget that the national elections are coming up. Mm-hmm. November the 4th. And I think the biggest travesty about the elections that take place in America is most people don't vote.
Mm-hmm. Sad to say.
Most Christians, according to wall builders, don't even go out and vote. But yet we spend an entire 4 years or 2 years or 6 years complaining about the person who we didn't or did vote for.
Mm-hmm.
In their choice of leadership. America, the way America works is you choose your leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you choose them. We choose them by going out and making a conscious effort to study and meet them and pray over who it is. And then we vote for them. Or we make a conscious effort to watch more reality television, get ourselves lost in sports and different things. And and then just show up and go, oh, man, I forgot it. I forgot it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, that works for 1 year. But it's been 10 years. Every single year you go, you know, it just slipped up on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think about it.
Right.
I've looked people in the face for years, and they always go, I mean, for years, for a decade. Oh, man, yeah, I was thinking about that, but it just slipped up on me. And next thing you know, it just passed. Whether it has to do with getting registered to vote or voting itself. I mean, it takes, what, a second?
Yeah, if that.
If that long. Nowadays, there's so many different ways to vote. You can early vote. You know, you can absentee vote,
mm-hmm.
and which I really would encourage voting, because they got so many rules to not count your vote.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just assuming they're counting it. And when I started reading all that small print, you know, if this is not right and that's not right and this is not right, I'm like, I want to make sure my vote is counted.
Yeah.
And so I just do early voting. And early voting, I know in the state of Florida, is pretty cool, because you can go anywhere they're doing it and they'll print the ballot out for you for whatever district you're in. So you don't have to go to your district. You just, wherever's close to
anywhere.
Your work.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Anywhere. Print it out. But by the way, on the ballot, it has choices you need to make.
Yeah.
It's not just showing, I'm going to show up and vote. And I'll figure it out when I get there, standing in this little tripod-looking thing in the middle of this strange room while people are standing in line behind me. I'm really going to think clearly at that
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. You got websites today. You got videos. You got friends you can talk to. You got you can go to the VFN Torch and look for voters' guides, where these different mm-hmm. potential people that are running for office answered a lot of questions that kind of give you a perspective of who they are, and get educated. We need mm-hmm. The thing about America is, the expectation of it running right is the electorate has to be educated. People who vote need to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
You know this because when originally America started, that you had to be a landowner. There was something invested that you had to have. It couldn't be just anybody could vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then we progressed to anybody can vote, which means that's great. You know, part of the rights of as a citizen in America is you can vote. But one of the responsibilities of American, you need to get educated to vote.
Right.
You don't listen to the latest commercial that has everything all hacked up and makes all these opponents look terrible. And you go, mm-hmm. I can't believe you believe everything they say. Instead of finding out, just mm-hmm. go, you can talk. By the way, whoever's running for your governor, that's a man or a woman just like you are. And you can look them square in the eye and you can ask them what you need to know that gives you the peace mm-hmm. to vote or not vote for them. The president. They're a man, just like a man right now, just like you are, or like potentially even a woman in the future. There's human beings. And we're going to have to live with their decisions. That's who sends you to war. That's who sends. You need to know who that is.
Yeah.
Your senators, I mean, a lot of people are complaining about Congress and House of Representatives right now in the Senate. But it's like you sent them there by either voting or not voting, by not talking to your neighbors about why you think that they should vote this way or that way. This thing about debate is just gone, where people don't debate anymore. It's good to have people with different viewpoints so you can come together and just talk out loud about it. And then in the end, you make a decision and you walk into the voting booth by yourself. But it's like if somebody thinks differently than you, people just freak out and take it so personally that you can't hear a different viewpoint. Just because people share a different viewpoint doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Listen to the objection. Even God says, come and reason with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you go through a lot of encounters like this and you do these things, you feel you've done the best you can do to make the best decision you can with this thing called a vote that people died for the right for you to have. If you go to the war memorials, if you go to the founding fathers and those who fought for this nation, the Revolutionary War, they died so we could have this right. And how could we just say, it just passed me by. Oh, I just missed it. You know, it's just too hard. And I gotta just stop my life for a microsecond. Mm. It's like, no, it's so important, because to not vote is to vote. To show up and not be educated in how you vote is you're doing more damage than good. Somebody said, well, I just won't vote. No, you need to get educated. You need to listen. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as going to the VFN Torch, look for the voter guides for your state, and look at the candidates and how they answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And vote from a biblical viewpoint. Vote for a kingdom viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
If it just so happens that the person that God's laid on your heart says we need to tighten our economic belt, and that means you won't get a raise for 3 years, but we get to keep our country for the next 100, it's worth it. Don't vote the short term in for people just trying to feed in your flesh. A godly value is maintain a stable economy, a stable country, even if that means for a season we have to make up for past mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
People tell you again and again, go to the polls and just vote for this moment. Vote for your job. You know, vote for your union. You know, vote for what you're feeling. Vote for your sin. You know, that your sin will be legal, whatever. And it's like, you're voting for the short run and it won't be good. But if we say, dear God, give us a biblical viewpoint. A biblical viewpoint. And Wall Builders is always going to be wallbuilders.com, or you can see it on VFN Torch with Barton, David Barton.
Mm-hmm. David Barton.
That he does a real good job also of helping us to understand the principles, the values of our country, and then vote. And it should be a day that you celebrate. I mean, we celebrate so many different things, but that is the moment. Yeah. I'm going to make this a celebration. When I vote, it's going to be a very important thing. What I do is I get the ballot ahead of time and I put it on my desk, and every day, but in the office, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking about it, praying about it, and God just brings things to me, and I gradually work my way the way you would a crossword puzzle that you do over a 30-day period. You know, you got to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't do that, but that's what the people do.
Yeah.
But you need to think about it systematically like that. And then obviously, this is not enough time, this one, but the next election coming up, you can do it and say, you know, I want to get a ballot ahead of time. I want it 30 days ahead of time. And you can do that by filing for an absentee ballot. Mm-hmm. They'll send it to you, and then you can just turn it in and vote at the precinct.
The thing about it is, too, it's like when you get that ballot, like you're saying, it has the names on there. When you get that early, take advantage of that time, look them up, Google them, find their websites, contact them. And it's just like, if you're calling them and they don't contact you back, you're not getting a feedback. And it's just like,
don't be surprised if they get an office and they don't call you.
Exactly. And it's just like, that's that moment, because then you can find out, it's just like, okay, don't just look like you're saying before, you see a commercial and then you find out, you know, whatever happened in previous days, and you find out that whole thing was funded by somebody else, you know, whoever they're running against. Like, no, look at what they've done. Look at the history. So it kind of gives you more context of how you can better make that decision.
Well, didn't you recently call a candidate?
Mm-hmm.
And you were shocked, right?
Yeah,
that
I was actually.
Experience.
But you think about it, and it's just like, I've been calling and leaving messages, or I get you know, transferred to an assistant. And there was one of the candidates I called, and he person just says, hello. And I was just kind of like,
go figure. It's like old times, isn't it?
I was like,
you call someone, one of your fellow citizens who wants to be your leader for the next some odd years, and they answer the phone.
Yeah. And that was
the if they want your vote personally, you think personally they should actually respond to your call, right?
Right. And that's the powerful thing is like, you want to be able to know. It's like, if we have that ability to make a decision to elect someone,
and God holds us accountable because this is a government by the people and for the people. So you have a responsibility before God in America, how you determine your leadership.
And we'll make it related too. And it's just like, you are the kings. You are Josiah. And it's like, you have right now that authority to say, I want this person.
Every American
in this role.
Citizen is like the king.
Exactly.
A king. Okay.
I want this person to be in this role. I want this person to be here. No, I don't like what this person stands for. You have that ability.
Right.
And it's just like, look at across the
face.
We're
a nation of kings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You look at the face of the globe right now. How many nations have this ability to say, nope, I don't like that leadership. I'm just going to not vote for you next time. And it's just like, don't waste this opportunity. Like you're saying, we're going to have to answer for the decisions that we make because it affects a nation.
And I remember that you know, one of our constitutional rights as an American citizen is that if you get charged with a crime, you're innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. And if you can't afford to hire an attorney, one will be appointed for you. Mm-hmm. And that is your public defender. It's it's one of the laws of Moses, really. You know, it's messianic rules and laws. And that's what we have. It's one of your constitutional rights. So that's your public defender, and you vote for that person. I remember when I made a phone call like that, and this particular person was running for public defender. So I picked up the phone. It's right before the elections, and I called, and the person answers. Mm-hmm. And he says, I was the only person and the entire people that potentially will need his services if they're falsely accused or even rightly accused, but wrongly, whatever, if they need representation, I was the only one that called. And it's like, we don't even understand. That is one of our constitutional rights, is to have an attorney. And it's important, for example, who your public defender is, because they defend the public. They defend you if you can't. And you say, well, I got money. You might not have money tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, and two, even if you have money for your own attorney, if your attorney, that if you are voting in the kingdom, if you're voting for your community and you love your community, then you're thinking there's somebody that somebody's going to get accused of something in this community. Mm-hmm. And I care enough about them, even if it's not me that gets that happened to, that I want to make sure that they have good representation so that when they do come before the court, that when they do decide and appear before a jury of your peers and they try this thing, that public defender is fighting for that citizen. They're putting everything out there to defend that citizen, public defender. Mm. And so then when this government, the state prosecution, is prosecuting them, we don't have some sort of dictatorial government that's just pushing their way over people. Somebody's fighting for the little guy, the public defender. And so when the jury, if you're one of the jury members sitting there hearing this, then you can say, I voted for that particular public defender, and I feel very good that the one that they put over this trial is given a good defense for them. So I can, as a juror, I can listen carefully to everything they said and know that the right people are being defended. And when the evidence says they're innocent, they're innocent. Mm-hmm. When the evidence says that they're guilty, then they're guilty. But that comes when you say, you know what? I'm going to find out who's running for public defender. Who's running for state attorney? Who is running for the governor? Who's running for Congress and Senate? And who is, you know, this is so important. Your school board. This stuff about not letting prayer in school in Tennessee. Well, did you vote that school board in?
And the lie is that your vote doesn't count because there's all these thousands of votes. It's like, how many times have people been running and it came down to 2, 3, 10 votes?
You'd be really surprised how confident people are in their office when you go back and find out they made it in by 3 votes. Oh, it's like, if you only made it in by 3 votes, I think, you know, relax a little bit and think about it. If they made it in by 3, you and your 2 friends could have changed the direction of that community.
Your vote counts.
Your vote counts.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
What kind of guidelines must public school bus drivers take into consideration when using seasonal decorations? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
At our school bus meeting, we were informed that we were not allowed to put religious symbols on our bus because we work for the school system. But we are allowed as school bus drivers to decorate our buses for the different holidays. What I wanted to know is, for the Easter holidays, does that mean I'm only able to put up the Easter bunny, but I'm not allowed to put up a cross?
It's one thing if they were to say, look, on the bus we want no material display. We want you to drive the bus. We don't want you to engage in other discussions. If they had a broad-based policy like that. But here what they've done is they've created a policy, and this is what's interesting legally, and we need to get you in touch with our legal office here at the American Center for Law and Justice. They've created a policy that allows for discussions. You can decorate for the holiday so long as your decorations don't reflect the meaning of the holiday.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So, Steve, you took improv at Chicago. Was it Chicago?
It was Detroit. Second city.
Versus the first. Isn't it the bankrupt city, Detroit?
Very bankrupt.
Very bankrupt. Yeah. They said even the police officers say, come at your own risk.
Mm-hmm.
How bad was your sets?
Did you actually pay money for this?
No, that's kind of critical.
I did. No, I'm just curious. Did it cost anything?
I did. What's funny is I was actually doing improv while I used to go to actually school for drama. That was my major. Way back.
Being a sanguine, I don't need a lot of educational drama, right?
Yeah, right.
See, I'm melancholy. So,
right.
This is how you be funny.
You didn't use funny
101. Like, man,
that was a tough class for me.
Yeah. So you're an actor.
Yes.
In study.
Yeah.
I mean, you were doing the whole thing, like waiting tables.
I was waiting tables.
Waiting for the acting career to break loose.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, my first play, I was Robin in Winnie the Pooh. You may not have known that.
He's like under shock.
That's really a tough cartoon. I couldn't handle that one.
But the awkward
young.
Thing is, though,
it's like the poo voice just bothered me. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So who's Robin?
I don't know. Well, what am I?
You don't even play the voice.
But you know what the crazy thing was, though?
And what?
You got to be a certain age if you remember Winnie the Pooh. I was actually taller than Kanga, The kangaroo?
It, this is a Winnie the Pooh as well.
No. Well, oh. If you think about it, Robin, in, yeah. In the storyline, Robin, story. Robin
all
was like
a bear that had honey all the time.
Yeah. Well, in the storyline, Robin is like 10 years old. He's got friends. Tigger, you know, the guy that bounced
around. Tigger.
You remember
that
Tigger?
Actually, like, they were his toys.
Were they his toys?
Yeah, the whole thing was in his imagination.
Yeah, imagination.
The whole thing was, yeah.
But it was kind of funny. I remember.
Second Street.
One of the biggest things that the
it
critics.
Did not come from Second Street.
One of the biggest things that the critics hit us on was that I was taller than Kanga, which is like, well, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. And I was like,
you had critics?
It's a play. Oh, yeah. School newspaper.
They
tore us apart.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you handle that?
I was like, well, whatever.
Wasn't somebody always trying to steal Winnie the Pooh's honey or something? That's all I remember.
No, he was just always trying to get
it. No, he was always looking for it.
He was still in the... He was still...
He was eating everybody's honey.
That's just one of the things that's just real difficult for me. I don't know what that was. But I did know this little girl, when she would dress, what things she would wear, she reminded me of that little animal that was with the clothes that she would wear. With the striped stuff. There was like a friend that Pooh... Didn't Pooh have
Tigger?
A friend? No, it wasn't. It
Eeyore?
Was, hmm?
Eeyore?
Oh.
You're what?
Eeyore was the depressed
Eeyore
donkey.
What?
Eeyore, come
oh,
on!
Oh, the donkey, no. I don't know
with
what it was.
With a tacked-on tail.
I don't know. I could be totally...
Eeyore.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. In my head, it's like, tails are not tacked on. That doesn't work. It's called pen to tail.
They were
it was
stuffed
a cartoon.
Animals. They weren't real.
This was not real.
They were his animal. His
Second Street.
His toys.
Wait a minute. You mean Winnie the Pooh wasn't real?
It was all a Fig Newton of your imagination.
It was a book.
So then, but how many times do, I mean, people, this is a media generation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a media generation. Capital M-E, small E-D-A. This is a media generation, you know, and mm-hmm. it just, how many people just watch endless movies? On their phones, on their iPads, on their TV, in the theater. It's amazing. You would think that when this technology came out, nobody would even go to theaters anymore. It's like, no, they just can't get enough of it. It's just like, just I want to see. And then you know, TV is continually watching again and again and again. And it's like, and all of a sudden you start thinking that life is like that. Life is the best take. And then you start getting depressed and thinking, well, my life's not like the movies. And, you know, he didn't come sweep me off my feet. He asked me if I needed to go out and work more. Or, you know, I need to get a job. My dad told me to get a job. And in the movies I saw, that the kids were over the dads. And so, but really, when you watch a movie or a television show, you have to understand they may have shot that line that you laughed at 10, 20 times. And you're watching the best takes.
Right.
You're watching the best takes. And it took an entire room full of people, a motivator, a coach, years of training, the right lighting, the right sound, the right mix, the right clap noise behind it, everything to make you feel like that. You don't walk around life with a laugh track.
You're trying to compare your outtakes to their highlights.
Well, it's just real. It's just real. Life is just real. And if you measure your life by the best takes, the me degeneration, you're going to be depressed because you're thinking like, I mean, because you can watch a movie. It's just amazing how your emotions, you're just going through all this kind of stuff. And you got to tell yourself, that wasn't real. That wasn't real. I wasn't floating through space. That wasn't real, you know.
Oh, that was a program. It was that wasn't
Trek.
Actually real.
Isn't it? Captain Kirk here, right? Something like that. I don't know how it goes. Spock, right? Beam me aboard. Star Trekkers. Anyway, so it's the best takes of everything. Believe it or not, Star Trek had the best takes. Those are the best takes in the 60s. And so.
It was a set.
And so, yeah. A Rector set. And so you can't look at television, you can't look at movies. To somebody who spent 20 years writing a book, who somebody else put it into a movie script, and then somebody else looked at it and changed it and morphed it and put in some additive things and threw in flowers and funny stuff and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, I just saw this movie about somebody losing their job, and it was just so romantic and exciting. And it was just, life's not like that. life doesn't come with a laugh track. I mean, you really, so we used to tell Megan when she was little, it's like, there's one stipulation for a joke on it. It's got to be funny.
I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah, really?
You've heard that one?
Yes.
I've been told that.
And she would just deliver this joke and we would just like, you know, you want to laugh. And it's like, we're just trying to find a moment in this thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, there's 50 of those. It's not going to work. But life doesn't come with a laugh track. It really doesn't. It doesn't automatically come with friends. You have to make them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't automatically come with income. You have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't automatically come with a house and all this furnished stuff in it. You actually have to buy the house and earn the money and pay the rent and pay the power and electricity. Mm-hmm. Somebody goes, well, and you, I'm watching young people today in their 20s, this media generation, and they're struggling with, oh, man, but this is not like MTV. You know, this is not like, you know, this television reality programs, you know, even those are edited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, oh, I got to pay bills and I got power and I got, you know, I got a food I got to buy and I got to, oh, I got to change the kid's diaper again. It's like, that's how it's always been. It's always been that way. I mean, there was life without Pampers. There was life when you actually had a cloth
mm-hmm.
with diaper pens, and you had to go wash the thing out. Listen.
Without a washing
this
machine.
This is a media generation, and you can enjoy entertainment, but understand, it is just entertaining you. You've got to get busy. Life requires you getting involved in it. Understanding it's centered not around me, like the media generation. It's centered around Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of life itself. And if you make him the center of your life and realize that life does not come with a laugh track, but it comes with a blessed track when you follow Jesus Christ, understand that your life will be filled with joy. It'll be filled with happiness. You go through some tough times, but Jesus says this, when those difficult times come, cheer up because our Lord's overcome this life. God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict, run through every door, every opportunity, and it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Don't forget to catch us at vfntv.com. Of course, go to the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the upper left-hand corner. Click it. And be amazed, over 3,000 highlights that really allow us to go deeper and expand more with related articles and videos and pictures, and allows you to really dive into more of what we were discussing. The program is only so long, so we really can't talk about everything, but we do try to source and give you as many related articles and information that allows you to go deeper and learn more for yourself.
Amen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It's amazing how time flies.
Amazing.
I'm with you.
So Star Trek.
He went there.
No, seriously. I mean, every time that I have a moment with Pat and talking to him about Star Trek or something of that nature, next thing you know, God's speaking to him. We had a situation. We have a situation that yeah, we need to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him, like, I don't know, man, that you know, Star Trek stuff, and you know, that was back then when piercing was a big thing.
All right.
Now I was standing by somebody the other day when they sneezed. I'm like, dear Lord, I hope they didn't have a bill lock because it went everywhere. There were so many holes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so and so I need to hear from the Lord about the situation. You know, is this person motivated by what is going on? Mm-hmm. What's happening? I didn't know. I mean, I knew it was something wasn't right, but didn't know what it was. Had to do with situation maybe in Northern Alabama during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gives me a vision.
Mm-hmm.
In this vision, I have this particular person looking at me and giving me the finger, like the Star Trek finger.
Yeah, live long and prosper.
It has a name.
It was like the finger thing. You hold your hands up and you're like,
mm-hmm.
Right. Everybody in the studio but me. Can you do that? Ooh.
There you go.
And so what it is you put like a V up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know,
to two fingers.
This is some mm-hmm. ancient character that Pat knows about that he watched back in the
Spock. Mm-hmm. From Vulcan.
Yeah, from Vulcan.
He has a poster on his wall.
So maybe that's what the V was for, Vulcan.
No.
So anyway, and so this hand gesture, this particular person was looking at me in this vision, who we went through a great journey. I know, I remember. So anyway, and he does that hand gesture thing.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't speak Vulcan or watch Star Trek like Pat did, so I had to go get to him to get the interpretation, as he would put it. How would you say it? The interpretation.
What it meant? Interpretate.
Interpretate. I had to get it interpreted by Pat. And, of course, that's, you know, after I said I don't think Star Trek's good, I got to tell him, you know, God just showed me a Star Trek thing. I need you to tell me what it means.
That was retribution for all those jokes.
All it happens all the time. I'm a Saints fan.
It's come back several times since then, too.
It sure has. Yeah. And so I think it kind of goes both ways, but he doesn't bring up the other one. And so, and so what the Lord was showing me was that this whole thing, this particular focus of this individual was about money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he was hooking himself up to people with great wealth
mm-hmm.
in the name of God mm-hmm. in ministry and draining the resources off of people in the name of God. But God revealed that through something as simple as a vision
mm-hmm.
and giving me the finger like the stock. I mean, you can't see it because we're on radio, but you know,
we'll put a picture up.
Put your good hand. Take a picture of Pat's good hand.
It. Put on a torch. They can see it.
Yeah. Use Pat's good hand. I mean, the other one that could, you know, although the Lord's going to heal that.
Yes, he is.
The Lord's going to heal that. Right now, we're just a paperweight, but we're gonna see some things. We're gonna see some things happen.
What
right
are you
there.
Doing, man? Cut that out.
So let's see it. I'm gonna show it. Show it right now. You got it. There we go. No, the other one, that's a hand. So the one that looks like a hand.
Oh, the real one?
There you go. We'll make that available to you. Oh, the things.
Yeah, we won't use that one.
So anyway, that, you know, God will speak to you and show you. If you're interested in knowing what's going on, it's amazing how he will do that. And I'm just so grateful for his voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says in Job 33, he speaks to us. Even when we're going the wrong direction, he speaks to us and warns us.
Yeah.
You still have tears in your eyes from the early. That's amazing. And I want to encourage you to be open. I mean, for there's a season of time you can be around so many folks who don't believe God speaks, that every time you talk about what God is saying, they just shut it down. They don't listen. They don't care. And you can start thinking, you can start just saying, you know, why even bring up what God says anymore? Nobody's going to listen to what God's saying. And then you start discrediting how God's talking to you. And next thing you know, you bring no value to it. And then you don't hear the voice of the Lord anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what? you know, forget about people in regards to that don't want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just a conversation between me and God, I want to hear. And if I tell folks what he says, because he told me to tell them, their response is not going to dictate my desire to hear what God has to say next. Mm-hmm. And he just speaks through so much and so many different things. And I want to encourage you, you know, one thing the Lord had a season of hearing from the Lord. I mean, he was just letting me know his heart. He says he'll share the secrets of his heart. And and there's this whole season, I would say that season's here is now, but there's a whole season where he was sharing his heart with me about how bad things are, you know, and I would go to sleep and I would wake up and things that he would show me what was going on in the nation, what was happening in the church at large, what was happening with ministers in the city. He was just showing me all these things, you know, and I would just get up and I would just be upset after a while. I'm like, and all of a sudden the Lord just spoke to me and just said, you know, if you're going to be angry when I share my heart with you, if I share what's going on, then I'm not going to speak with you. I was like, I had to figure that out. You know, right. Why, you know, he wasn't sharing it with me because I'm God and I'm going to do something about it. He was letting me know and he'll let you know, what he's feeling, what his emotions are, what's going on, what his perspective is. He says in Proverbs 1, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have made my heart known to you. Mm. And then I realized he wasn't asking me to do something about it. You know, and it's sort of like Rick Joyner talking about in one of the books, maybe Final Quest, and God is revealing to him these three armies. And the first army was in bad condition. And and so Rick throws in his opinion, you know.
Oh, what should he do with
them? Yeah. And he says, you know, just destroy him, get rid of him.
Off him.
Yeah, right. Right. And the Lord says, this is Pat. No, he says, this is you. That's what he said. This is the condition of the present day church. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful that when God is showing us what's going on, you know, we have to be open to it. But he speaks quite often. I mean, you think about all the things, speaking of Rick Joyner, of all the things the Lord has said to him. I was just reading this morning something of his that only twice has, I think, he's heard the audible voice of the Lord speaking to him. Most of it's just images and you know, dreams, and God takes you through things. And we're stuck. We're limited by our vocabulary, and there's so many other ways to communicate. I mean, art. I mean, look at the Mona Lisa. We're still talking about it today. I think France or somebody's talking about selling it to pay off their national debt.
Oh, wow.
I don't want it. I think there's much better.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, Mona Lisa. And it's like, that's, anyway. So anyway. That picking up on the voice of God, learning to hear the voice of the Lord speaks. The Lord does speak, you know, and that's one thing that if we begin to realize he does speak and he is speaking and we're not hearing him, it doesn't mean he's not talking. It can mean that our hearts have gone hard. Mm-hmm. You know, we no longer credit, you know, that dream or vision to him, and not every dream's from him and not every vision's from him. A lot of people even prophesy out of their own hearts and their own desires and those type of things. But it's really cool. I mean, God wants a relationship with you. One of the main purposes why you were created is to have fellowship with God. It's not just the side relationship that you have and then you live your whole life and every now and then you pop in on Sunday and you have a shout out to the Creator. It's a daily, hourly, minute by minute. When you lay your head at night, you meditate on him and his, I mean, everything. It's just about having a fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a fellowship with God, with a friend, you know, you share your heart. He shares his with you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he says, okay, now I want you to do something about it. You know, not only are you called, but now you're chosen. I've been talking to you about this. I've been preparing you for this. You've seen it happen again and again. Now it's time to walk this thing out and I'm going to be with you. Like Moses is going like, not me. How can I do this? He's listen, I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be with you to finish this. But it came out of a long relationship with God, talking with him. Mm-hmm. And it's like so many people, you know, want to do something through God, for God, realizing, no, God wants to do something through you for himself, you know, and they're approaching the things of God based on their own ambition, selfish ambition, not ambition, but selfish ambition. Ambition's not wrong. Selfish ambition is what's evil. And money's not evil. It's the love of money. When we choose serving money over serving God, that's evil. But if just to have money is not evil, because then you can actually help folks with it. You can get things and that type of stuff. But God is speaking. And so when he begins to prepare you for this, maybe this day at work, maybe you're going to, I had a situation where recently that I was going to have something come my way at a certain day, at a certain time. And God took me to a place and prepared me in advance. And I remember calling Pat up and we're talking early in the morning and saying, you know, this is what the Lord, and you don't know at first because it hadn't happened yet, but he's sharing something with you mm-hmm. that's going to happen in your near future or down the road. It could be 10 years from mm-hmm. today, 30 years from now. I got stuff today that, and some things I may have shared that didn't even need to share, and forgive me for sharing it before it's time, but I'm just learning how to mm-hmm. walk in prophecy. And we're all called to prophesy and to hear the Lord and all, but I was talking to Pat and I said, man, this is what was going on and this is what was happening, you know, and we're kind of praying about it. And within an hour or two, I'm right in the middle of a friend of mine's home going through a great tragedy. And what God shared with me wasn't on my mind at that moment. I was just broken because of the tragedy. Mm-hmm. But then he looks at me, and when he looks at me, he says something. And as soon as he says it, what immediately came up was exactly what God told me mm-hmm. hours before.
Wow.
But it's what he said that God prepared me to release, because he knew that my friend would be going through this great difficulty. He knew what happened. As a matter of fact, probably at the very same time this was beginning to happen to him, God immediately spoke to me and then sent me there. Actually, it was a couple of things that kind of came together. And then, next thing you know, I'm with my friend mm-hmm. in this time. And it was amazing. Yeah. That's God is amongst awesome. Us. He's mm-hmm. with us. And that's how he works. He's not like this far out, even though he's far out, he's close up as well. I mean, he's not like this distant. He's now, he's present. Mm-hmm. He's our ever present help in time of trouble. That he's walking with us every single day. He'll tell you business strategies. He'll tell you how to get past, you know, relational issues in your own marriage or your own family or your workplace or your community. He'll just give you the desires of your heart. He'll go, you know, you've been talking about this. This is what you've been wanting. I had, as a matter of fact, I know we got to get a break, but I had a situation that happened just yesterday. I've been crying out for this thing to happen, for a lot of things to happen, but this particular thing. And it's just God spoke. Mm-hmm. It was time to do it. And remember, when you hear God speaking, most of us think you're hearing an audible voice. Mm-hmm. But most things just come in knowings. Like all of a sudden you didn't know it. And then all of a sudden you just knew it. Mm-hmm. And we learn, you know, sometimes we miss that, and I just knew this is the moment I need to do this thing. And I did it. And it happened just like I desired. And it was like this huge drink of cold water in a desert experience. It was just amazing. It was like, and it took, I mean, it was been a longing maybe for 27 months, you know, it's been a longing for this to actually take place. And, but God knew my heart and he knew how to bring me joy. Mm-hmm. And he gave that to me. And I was just so grateful. This is the Lord. The Lord wants to be able to spend this time with you. If you want to learn how to walk with the Lord, that's called abiding with him. Psalms 91 says, you know, that despite all these storms and things coming, if you abide with him under his wing, he'll protect you. Read the whole Psalms 91. But also we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. We've got a free plan for you. Go there, request your plan. We'll just share with you a few simple things to do that you can begin to learn to walk with God and hear his voice and respond to him. And listen to this. The creator of the universe wants to talk with you. He wants to speak with you. You're created for fellowship with him. He wants to make his heart known. Go to iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
$50 I Guy.
Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello. I don't know where that came from.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
We were just talking in the break time about Pat and his sleep deprivation and John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
He only got 9 hours sleep last night.
Yeah. Only 9, yeah, right.
Just sleep a little bit more, man.
Yeah. Oh, my
that's,
goodness.
That's like 2 days worth of sleep.
Well, so Pat and I were in Washington, D.C.
Oh, please do tell.
We were in Washington, D.C., and he looks strong. I got to just keep him up all night. I mean, it'll be over.
Yeah, much.
But it's so much. It's a facade.
Yes.
And so we're staying at this particular guy's house for staying in the gap, actually.
Yeah.
And he had this deep passion for God, you know, knowing him as
Father's heart.
His Father's heart. And and so he's talking to us, and we've been on all day long to the mall and just zoos and whatever else in Washington. And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm just like on the edge of my seat, right? And Pat's kind of sitting here to the back side of me, and they had pizza, and he was sitting on the edge of the table, and he's whispering. He's saying,
"The guy is."
Yeah. <Panic Sand Squad. laughs> and so the guy's going, "It's the Father's heart." Right?
It's
like, no. I'll show you Pat in a moment. So I'm leaning forward. I'm like, this guy's got it. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. So I'm so intense and intrigued. I'm thinking, this guy's got it. And I look back at Pat, and Pat's like, his face was hanging down. He was chewing on a piece of pizza. I'm like, you ain't even listening. It's the Father's heart. And I found out why he was whispering, because he didn't want to wake up Jezebel. He was actually held captive
in the basement.
He was yeah.
Oh my god.
But we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Did you know that you can text right now on your phone, VFN, that's V Victor, VFN TV, to the numbers 22828. That's VFN TV to the numbers 22828. And you will be rightly connected to a weekly newsletter called The Torch that will come to you and give you, if you miss an entire week, it comes to you in one email to be able to catch up with what happened, not just the news, but what to do with the news, encouragement, all these different things. It's as simple as picking up your phone right now and text the letters V as in Victor, VFNTV, that's a V. FNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to 22828, and follow the prompts. And within seconds, you are hooked up, and you'll be receiving every single week the Torch newsletter, and you'll always stay connected, keeping the conversation light. That's text VFNTV to the number 22828. Have you seen our Facebook lately? I mean, it's amazing on our Facebook how, you know, each of our friends from around the world. I mean, when you see all the people that is connected, it's just so encouraging. I mean, there's so many ways to connect, but just looking at the, you know, what's taking place just on our Facebook friends out there, we have nations, I mean, from, I don't know, 50, 60 different nations, maybe more than that, you know, in the Middle East. We're reaching out to all these different languages that are going on. And it's just, we just love that. Because not only can you hear us in the States, not only can you hear us on watch us on Christian Television Network, not only can you see us at VFNTV.com, but even in social media, you're able to share what's taking place. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. One simple sharing of one simple segment of something that encouraged you, or something the Lord laid on your heart that you knew that you knew would touch someone and you sent it to them, don't you know that nothing you have done is in vain? Not one thing that you've done is in vain, that God will remember everything that you've done and he writes it in a book of remembrance? How easy is that? How many years have some people ministered to 50 folks every single Sunday, maybe even Wednesday, for 25 years? That's all they reached. But you can reach the world now by connecting to us in social media, in our Facebook. Go to vfntv.com. You can find our Facebook right there. Connect to us, like us. And then every single day you have a chance to go and share maybe this segment or that segment with all of your friends. Of course, when you do share, you need to know this, that Facebook doesn't let us connect to every single person. So say if you have 100 friends and you like a particular segment or you share it, all your 100 friends don't get that. And a lot of people think, well, if you share this and everybody got it, they go, well, how come somebody didn't respond to me? And it's like they have some sort of system set up and they choose on who they're going to let you see it, which of your friends are going to see it or not. But if you just keep on sharing, knowing that, you know, some are going to hear it and some they're not, but you can send it directly to a friend. Versus trying to just like it, you can choose share. You can send it right to one of your friends and it will show up in their email or on their Facebook post and you can encourage them. Think about it. Today, you can reach out by go to vfntv.com, like us on Facebook and begin your ministry in the social atmosphere. And instantly you can let people know about the good news of what's being shared that day. Steve. What is the rental car industry like?
Ever changing every day. There's always stuff going on. People in and out, cars in and out.
I would assume, you know, like you get in the car and then you get out of the car, right?
Well, not in and out of the car. But the amazing thing is, though, is a lot of people are just like,
oh, in and out, like the whole
exchanging of people. Flowing in and out. It's just like not just getting in and out.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Because a lot of people will look at that and they say, like, oh, you rent cars. Well, that's not that hard. This is like, that's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more intense.
Dallas-Fort Worth, it was amazing. It was like pulling into a landing strip. There were so many. It was just like, it was literally, you had these different lanes, and all of us are coming in to turn our cars in, and it's maybe about five or six lanes going in this, I don't know, thousands and thousands of cars, and they're bringing you in like you're running a dragster race or something, bringing you in, and they have these, they scan you. I mean, if you, everything had a mark but us. If we would have had a mark, they would have scanned our foreheads, I guess, you know, and brought us in. And I remember one rental car that Donna got when we got to Denton to be able to, Dallas, DFW, to be able to check out Denton. And that car, you know, she got a good deal. And it was like, I don't know, it was like a stray jacket or something. So for me, it was like putting on a jacket. It was so small. I don't know why y'all even rent cars like that. That's kind of like, you know, challenging to people like me.
Well, there's some people that don't want anything larger. They're just like, I just like a go-kart, please.
Why is it? Is it money or is it just?
Well, a lot of times, too, it's like if there's well, there's gas, too. But there's some people that.
I didn't have any gas.
I had to push it really hard. Some people that have, like, you know, a corporate agreement, they're like, there's a budget and we don't want to pay anymore.
Yeah, and they're cheaper.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go around looking, sightseeing, and you can't even see out this window because the. It's so low, you got to bend
down.
You got to bend your head, and all you can see is your lap when you're driving around. You got to trust the GPS because you can't see out the front window. That I finally looked at Donna, and I thought, I don't care. You know, we got to go back.
Yeah.
We got to go back, and I'm not going to tell you the company because, you know, they're not one of our sponsors, but what if you were? And we went to the online and looked at this place and got a great deal for a real vehicle. It was a Jeep. It was a Jeep. And it was one of those cars. That
Cherokee. Well, some Jeeps are really small. Get it clarified.
Okay. Okay. The
thank you, Britannica.
I mean, I have it's just empty now. The and so
it was bigger.
It was one of those touch cars. You didn't have to put it. It's keyless entry.
It was a touch.
Yeah. We don't have much time. I got to focus. And so you just touch the car and it would unlock. That's not good for my personality. Don and I look at each other. Like, did you touch it? I don't know. Did you touch it? Is it locked? Let's touch it again. Clunk. Did it unlock or I don't want it. Look over the side. Touch it again. And it was terrible. I don't, who wants something that you touch and you don't know if it unlocked or locked? Can you imagine that? Mm-mm. Well, right now, there's reports that one of the biggest thefts going on right now is keyless entry cars.
Really?
Because, yeah, if you have the key in your pocket, you can touch the car, or I guess on your hand or something. How does it know it's in your pocket? But if you touch the car, it just unlocks it. This is, I need to be consciously involved in unlocking something.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I have to be consciously involved in locking it. And if you don't get me involved in that, I'm like, I won't even know. I won't even know what happened. But I just heard reports in the news that, you know, cars are being, this keyless entry thing, finally, we're getting some reason here. Yeah, you should actually stick the key in a hole and turn it. I think we can do this. We can do this. We can stay engaged in life. I mean, think, next thing you know, you're just thinking it's going to unlock. Well, I want to encourage you today that, you know, when it comes to being and getting things the right size, you know, live your life fully, you know, make the decisions you have. And some people live cramped lives because they're thinking, you know, I got to scrimp and I got to do all this. You know, you live your life to the fullest, enjoy everything. And sometimes it means you have to upsize so that you can actually enjoy what God is doing for you and be able to get a good viewpoint of what's happening. And one of the biggest things you can do is to reach out to other people and help them see life's bigger than a compact view. That there's things they can do. There's missions they can go to. There's people that they can help. And be engaged in life. Life is not about a keyless entry. I mean, God said, go take dominion of the world. Don't just touch the world and it automatically happens. You know, we have to be engaged. I encourage you today, make a decision to say, you know what? I am going to get involved in my life. It's a real deal. God gave it to me. And I'm going to use it, and I believe the Lord's going to bless me.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.